Greetings, friends. I'm John Haspel. This talk is on the Fena Sutta. In this sutta, the Buddha teaches the emptiness of five clinging aggregates, the personal experience of confusion, deluded thinking, and ongoing disappointment. This is the first of a series of four Wednesday talks on emptiness. All of my talks and videos are available through my website at crossrivermeditation.com, and if you find benefit from this talk, please consider a donation there. Thank you. Peace. So, greeting, friends. Today's talk is on the Fena Sutta. The Fena Sutta is another teaching on the five clinging aggregates and emptiness, as the Buddha teaches emptiness. That's probably one of the most misunderstood concepts of the Buddha's teaching in relation to modern applications of Buddhism. Emptiness is usually taught as an environment to aspire to, and kind of an explanation, really an annihilation of the self. And the Buddha never intended emptiness to be used that way. Most importantly, the Buddha teaches emptiness in relation to the cause of all suffering, which is ignorance. And so he teaches emptiness in that context, that we should empty ourselves of ignorance. And the Four Noble Truths is the way that we do that, and the direct path is the Eightfold Path. In the Fena Sutta, he's also using reference to the five clinging aggregates. The five clinging aggregates are form, feeling, feelings, perceptions, mental fabrications, and ongoing consciousness rooted in that initial ignorance as the five clinging aggregates. And the five clinging aggregates are simply the ongoing personal experience of confusion, deluded thinking, and suffering. It's that, it's the individual experience of ongoing ignorance rooted in that specific ignorance of Four Noble Truths. Remember, the Buddha awakened to dependent origination, which states from ignorance to 12 observable causative links, all manner of suffering arises. And everything that he would teach for the next 45 years was in that context and in the context of Four Noble Truths. So let me read the sutta and I'll comment on it. The Buddha was staying with the Avosians on the banks of the Ganges River. He addressed those assembled. Friends, suppose a large glob of foam were floating down the river and a person with good eyesight saw it and clearly examined it. To them it would appear empty, void, without any substance. For what substance could there be in a glob of foam? In the same way, any practitioner well-versed in the Dhamma observes and appropriately examines any form that is past, future, or present, any form that is internal or external, obvious or subtle, common or extraordinary, near or far. To those well-versed in the Dhamma, it would appear empty, void, without any substance. For what substance could there be in a form that is constantly changing? And of course, the Buddha is referring first to our physical body, and is reminding us of the impermanence of the body, made up of those of the four elements. And if it's impermanent, why would we want to create an identity? Why would we want to attach to anything that is impermanent? And then he's taking that a little bit further to all physical forms, which of course we attach ourselves to. We attach ourselves to limitless forms. We attach ourselves to our clothes. We attach ourselves to the forms of other people. Some of us attach ourselves to our cars or our pets. Again, that list is endless. We attach ourselves to physical life itself. We become enamored with physical life, despite the fact that the First Noble Truth says that human life is prone to confusion, delusion, and suffering. Why would we create identities through those attachments? This is a direct teaching on recognizing the emptiness of all of our attachments. The Buddha continues, now suppose that in the rainy season it is raining fat, heavy drops, and a water bubble appears and disappears on the water. A person with good eyesight sees this and clearly examines it. The water bubble would appear empty, void, and without substance. For what substance could there be in a water bubble? Again, relating this to the overall metaphor of the emptiness of all things. In the same way, any practitioner well-versed in the Dhamma observes and appropriately examines Any feeling that is past, future, or present, any feeling that is internal or external, obvious or subtle, common or extraordinary, near or far. To those well-versed in the Dhamma, it would appear empty, void, without substance. For what substance could there be in feelings that are constantly changing? And it's really surprising how strong we attach ourselves to feeling and then continue to defend those feelings that we've attached ourselves to, such as it might be anger or resentment, or it might be happiness that is growing out of a temporary experience, and we want to recreate that happiness or the experience. Excuse me. And this is just another form of clinging. And in relation to the five clinging aggregates, now he's described the foolishness of clinging to our physical form and clinging to feelings. And we use both of those components in the next three to describe ourselves. And we attach ourselves to these disparate aggregates that are inherently impermanent. They're empty of any lasting any lasting reality, any way, there's no way to establish any of these aggregates in any permanent way, and yet we insist on creating identities over them. The Buddha continues. Now, suppose during the hot season, a mirage was shimmering. A person with good eyesight sees it and clearly examines it. The mirage would appear empty, void, and without substance. For what substance could there be in a mirage that is constantly changing? In the same way, any practitioner well-versed in the Dhamma observes and appropriately examines any perception that is past, future, or present, any perception that is internal or external, obvious or subtle, common or extraordinary, near or far. To those well-versed in the Dhamma, it would appear empty, void, without substance. For what substance could there be in perceptions that are constantly changing? The Buddha continues. Now suppose that a person with good eyesight is seeking heartwood. In seeking heartwood, they went to a forest with a sharp axe. There they find a large banana tree. They cut it at the root and remove the top. They peel away the outer skin and fail to find even sapwood, to say nothing of finding heartwood. Having good eyesight, they clearly examine the banana tree, and the tree would appear empty, void, without substance. With in regard to heartwood, for what substance, meaning heartwood, could there be in a banana tree? A banana tree is empty. It's a hollow tree. There's nothing there. In the same way, any practitioner well-versed in the Dhamma observes and appropriately examines any fabrications that are past, future, or present, any feeling that is internal or external, obvious or subtle, common or extraordinary, near or far. To those well-versed in the Dhamma, fabrications would appear empty, void, without substance. For what substance could there be in fabrication? Now, the Buddha continues, now suppose a magician were to display a magic trick, and a person with good eyesight clearly sees the trick. The trick would appear empty, void, without substance. For what substance could there be in a magic trick? In the same way, any practitioner well-versed in the Dhamma observes and appropriately examines any consciousness that is past, future, present, any consciousness that is internal or external, obvious or subtle, common or extraordinary, near or far. To those well-versed in the Dhamma, any consciousness is ongoing thinking rooted in ignorance. In this context, the Buddha's not, and never did talk about any type of a grand cosmic consciousness or the New Age idea that we're all part of one grand evolving consciousness. When the Buddha uses the term consciousness, when I use the term consciousness, we're just referring to ongoing thinking rooted in ignorance. This thinking would appear empty, void, without substance. For what substance could there be in consciousness that is impermanent and rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths? These are all, and again, this is in reference to the consciousness aggregate and the one prior to that, to the fabrication aggregate. The Buddha continues, seeing these five aggregates clearly, the well-instructed follower of the Dhamma grows disenchanted with form. They go disenchanted with feelings, disenchanted with perception, disenchanted with fabrications, and disenchanted with thinking rooted in ignorance. Disenchanted, they grow dispassionate. Dispassionate, they are released. With release, there is a knowledge that they are released from clinging to ignorant views. They know that birth is ended, the fully integrated life has been lived, and the path complete. They know there will be no more moments rooted in ignorance, no more moments prone to confusion, deluded thinking, and ongoing disappointment. The Buddha continues, form is like a glob of foam, feeling a bubble, perception a mirage, fabrications a banana tree, consciousness a magician's trick. When you observe them appropriately and examine them, they are clearly empty and void. They are without substance. To anyone who sees them clearly, they are empty of ignorance. That's the end of that sutta. And again, the whole point of this sutta relates to the Buddha's ongoing teaching there. My dog, he always does this during, almost always does it during my Wednesday talk. I don't know why he does it, but there he is. There's my dog drinking water. The five clinging aggregates, that the form, feeling, perceptions, mental fabrications, and ongoing consciousness that we use as the experience for ongoing suffering, the five clinging aggregates arise out of ignorance and then clinging to those fabrications that arise out of ignorance. The whole point of the five clinging aggregates, the whole point of recognizing what has arisen out of ignorance is that they are empty of any reality. They're empty of any self. They're empty of any wisdom. They're empty of any virtue. And they're empty of any concentration, meaning a well-concentrated, well-formed thought. Being empty, they should simply be abandoned. This leads to another really important aspect of what the Buddha teaches. In the Vitakasanthana Sutta, the Buddha teaches the relaxation of thoughts and the ability to then gain the ongoing ability of thinking what one wants to think when one wants to think that. And what that means is that our thoughts are no longer driven by ignorance and we have control of our thinking. Our thoughts are no longer empty of any reality. They are a direct reflection of what's occurring in this moment. Being empty as a human being is being disconnected from life as life occurs and clinging to the mirage of empty, ignorant thoughts. When we let go of those thoughts rooted in ignorance, we enter and remain, this is the essence of mindfulness, we enter and remain in our life as our life occurs. Our lives are no longer empty because they're no longer rooted in ignorance. Our experience of ourselves is no longer empty because we're no longer clinging to those things that are temporary and using those impermanent objects, events, views, and ideas to describe ourselves to ourselves. It's the essence of the Dhamma. Seeing things clearly, seeing ourselves clearly in relation to the impermanent environment that we all live in. It's rooted, let me use a different phrase. It's founded in the concentration developed in right meditation. And the framework for developing clear understanding and our attachment to impermanent objects is the Eightfold Path. That's the sole reason why the Buddha taught an Eightfold Path. Another way of saying or describing ignorance is being stuck in conditioned views. And so the Eightfold Path is a way of recognizing those conditioned and deluded views, recognizing them clearly and simply abandoning them. And we're also, along the way, abandoning the personal experience of suffering, the emptiness of five clinging aggregates. So that's today's talk. Thank you for joining, and I hope to see you next Wednesday. Peace.
Thank you for listening. Please visit crossrivermeditation.com for guided meditations and instruction and Dhamma articles, recorded talks, and videos. We rely on donations to support these talks. If you find benefit from these talks, please consider a donation at crossrivermeditation.com. These talks are copyrighted and are distributed under a Creative Commons License 4.0. Please feel free to contact me through crossrivermeditation.com. Peace.